We've all seen someone make the sign of the cross, right? Many of us have made it upon ourselves many times in life. It's football season, and so now I often see someone doing this before they receive a punt. And I always think, you know, that's kind of fitting, because if my eyes were up here looking to catch a football, and there was a 230-pound guy running straight at me like a, you know, I'd be doing that too. The winner of this year's Tour de France, I don't know if he weighed 130 pounds. But as he crossed the line, securing the victory in the yellow jersey, he was the Tour de France champ. As he crossed the line, on his bike, he rode right to where his mother was. And then over his mother, he made the sign of the cross. At the exact same time, she made the sign of the cross over him. And then he looked at his little brother, who was right next to mom, and he made the sign of the cross over his little brother, while simultaneously his little brother made the sign of the cross over his big brother, the Tour de France champion. It was one of the coolest things I've ever seen, not just in cycling, not just in sports, just. It was just one of the coolest things I have ever seen. The sign of the cross is powerful and stirring. And the cross is a powerful and stirring sign. The cross is the greatest expression of God's love and of God's grace. And the cross is the greatest location of God's law and God's wrath. On the cross is seen, known, received, experienced God's love and its grace in all its fullness. And on the cross falls God's law and wrath in all its force and in all its fury. On the cross is made a pleasing, acceptable sacrifice of the Lamb of God, Jesus Christ, pure and holy, on the cross does offer. Jesus Christ, pure and holy, on the cross does suffer. As on the cross, Jesus takes the guilt of the world, your sin and mine, all of it, and makes it his own, that through faith he might make his purity and holiness ours. It's the dual nature of the cross. And we who cling to the cross, or more specifically, we who cling to the crucified one, for us, the cross has another dual role, another twofold nature. The cross, it is our root, and the cross, it is our fruit. The cross is our root. It's our cornerstone. It's our foundation. It's where we rest our hopes, our certainty, and our eternity. And simultaneously, the cross, it's our fruit. For we hope that the cross, more specifically, the crucified one, is magnified and glorified in our lives and through our lives. Do we not? It's been our prayer during this Renaissance time here at Bethany that the crucified one will be magnified and glorified through our campus's Renaissance. Through our campus's renovation. We've prayed for this because of our spirit-driven desire to see Bethany Lutheran Church strong, vibrant, healthy for generations to come. Let me take a quick aside. I just got back from the Pacific Southwest District Pastors Conference. We have some vibrant, healthy, strong, dynamic congregations, sister churches of ours in our district, and it's awesome. But most are not like that. Most are not worried about how they're going to be strong, dynamic, and healthy for generations to come. Most are worried about how they're going to make it through this calendar year. That's why we continue to seek to find ways to partner and support our sister churches. Now back to where we're at. We desire that for generations to come, people here at Bethany come to know the cross, the crucified one, as their root and as their fruit. And so today, we're going to dedicate these Renaissance facilities. But the greatest Renaissance to which we have pledged ourselves as a congregation is not the renewal of our property. But the renewal of each of us personally. That individually and collectively we might be a means of renaissance to the world. That we might be blessed to trace upon others that which has been traced upon us. I want you to do me a favor, just for a moment, stand up where you're at. Turn to the person next to you, if you will. If you do not know them, if you didn't come with them, that's okay. No touching is required here. I simply want you to trace over them while they simultaneously trace over you the sign of the cross. No talking either. You can turn the other way and you can do it again a second time and then be seated. Go ahead and be seated. Ours is the privilege, the high honor, as renewed, as restored, as Renaissance people, to trace upon others that which has been traced over us, marking them as people redeemed by Christ, the crucified one. Whether they've just crossed a finish line and feel victorious, or whether they think they're never going to make it. In times of victory or in times of defeat, in times of abundance or in times of absence, in times of joy or in times of sorrow, ours is the calling and the commissioning to trace upon others that which has been traced upon us, the cross of Christ. And we don't just do it in emotion. Although you can use that all the time. But we do it in what we say and how we pray for one another and for our community. And in the way we live from day to day to day. That might, what might be traced upon others through us is the cross, our root, and our fruit. It's the dual nature of the cross for we who have been renaissanced. And while the renaissance of our campus is drawing to a close, we're not completely finished. You're still going to see some things happening over the next days, weeks, and months. But as it's drawing to a close, we are reminded that that greater renaissance, the renaissance of the soul, the kingdom renaissance of community and world through we who have been renewed, is ever ongoing this side of heaven.